I just like the whole idea also of being somewhere from the beginning and building ground up, and the builder sends you pictures and you get to see each stage. It's just something really nice about it, besides the financial reward, because you also have equity built in if it's done correctly.
Welcome to the Rent to Retirement Podcast, your resource for passive real estate investing and retirement strategies. If you're new to real estate or planning your financial future, you're in the right place. Join us at renttoretirement.com to find your path to financial freedom and an easy, carefree retirement. Enjoy the show.
Hey, Rent to Retirees, it's Adam Schrader here with another episode, joined as usual by Zach LeMaster, the founder and CEO of Rent to Retirement. And we are talking to one of our investors, Bernard, today. We want to hear a little bit about his journey. We want to hear about how it can be replicated. So, Bernard, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's fantastic to have you on here. So tell us, are you one of the people who got 1,000 doors in 6 months?
I would like to say yes, but no, not that fast. It may happen, I tell you that much. But no, within about a year and a half, we've got six so far.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about kind of your backstory. What got you thinking at all about real estate, and what was your first endeavor into the space?
Well, I was always interested in real estate. I was an agent in a past life. Always had it inside of me, that the desire to have it. My family has always had an investment property for a long time. But over the years, you know, nobody really wanted to do much with it. So it got a little bit, I would say, aged. So everyone's working, no one's really taking care of it, but it produced some rental income and it ran itself. So what happened to me was, I was a casualty of the vaccine mandates. I have nothing against anyone that, you know, wants to make their own decisions, but that's what it is, you know, live and let live. So that came into my life. So because of my deep convictions religiously, and for that matter, just liberty and freedom, I had to leave my work. I had a great career. I'm not going to get too into what it was, but it was involved being outside, outdoors, a lot of labor. It was a labor of love. I enjoyed it, but that was taken away from me. So, not wanting to deal with that ever again, I decided, what can I do on my own? So thinking about it, I knew real estate would be a good path. We do have this property that I can do something with. So I decided to jump right in. So wanted to rehab the entire property, raise the rents, do what I had to do. So I started doing that, started renovating one apartment, but then realized quickly, it's not a landlord-friendly area. It's very tenant-friendly. Taxes are super high, expenses are super high. So I said, what should we do? Maybe we should go out of state. So that's where I started to click and go online and look for what my options would be. And I came across Rent to Retirement. So that's what set everything in motion. So basically, I was forced into this situation. I never wanted to have to deal with that again. I wanted to do something for myself. I wanted to work for myself. So Rent to Retirement seemed like a good way to go. So I reached out. I think I spoke to Ben initially, and got into the Cape Coral situation. I was always interested in new construction, things like that. So I said, maybe that's what we should do. So we started with a lot in Cape Coral, and currently we're going through that whole process. Back to the building itself, let me backtrack a little bit. So like I said, I wanted to renovate it, and I wanted to improve it and rent it at market rates. But again, too many factors were telling me not to do that. So while I was doing the Cape Coral situation with Rent to Retirement, I came across the 1031 process. So I said, besides doing a couple of properties, my wife and I on our own, why don't we 1031 this property into multiple properties? So that's where Zach came in to help out. I reached out to Zach and we hit it off immediately. He's a total gentleman. And he never pressured me into anything, but he outlined what we can do. You know, you can go this route, this route, this route. So we decided to 1031 into four properties in Florida. We closed on the last one fairly recently. They're all up and running, all rented. So the 1031 situation is now, like I said, it's going really well. We have a Cape Coral build that's still in process. We're going to be closing on an Akawaha property soon. And we're just going to keep going forward like that. So a little mix, little old school 1031 and some new stuff with our own situation.
Nice. And you get to not worry about tenant laws as much because Florida is probably a lot friendlier than where it sounds like you're dealing with or you were dealing with.
That's where I wanted to be. I wanted to be in the Southeast. So Florida was choice number one. And Zach and I had multiple conversations about the different areas, the aspects and all that. So I was convinced from the start that that's where we should start.
Yeah, I think Adam recently showcased some statistics about Florida being the state that is the quickest eviction, like one of the quickest eviction states, but then the slowest foreclosure state. So from a landowner or a property owner and landlord perspective, it's pretty favorable in terms of the legislation. But that's excellent, Bernard. You've had quite the journey. I mean, I've always been really impressed, as I've told you directly, about the simple fact that, you know, you're one of these people that sets their mind to something and then you do it and you figure it out. You know, you don't expect to have all the answers up front, but you're going to take action and go out and find those answers, right? And actually take action on it. And you learn by doing. And then you bounce those ideas off of us and we have those conversations about, you know, different strategies and maybe just running through the numbers of certain things, but then you take action. So I commend you on that. And I mean, that's the type of people I love to work with directly because you're doing it right. Which is great, but let's back up a little bit just on like why real estate. I think you went through a tough scenario, a tough personal and professional choice that you had to make, based on your convictions and that were unfortunately like kind of forced into a situation and you chose yourself. Right. And I think that will be ultimately, like that may seem like a tough challenge at the time, but now you're on this trajectory where like you are in control of driving your own ship, right? And a master of your own destiny where you can create the outcome. And that is just, I would hope that it's somewhat liberating too, now that you're kind of working through this. Would you agree or?
Extremely liberating. You know, at first it was, when it first happened, it was like, you know, it was like a punch to the stomach. What am I going to do? But now it's completely opposite. Now I feel empowered. I feel like I'm in control of my own destiny, my wife's destiny, my mother's destiny. You know, we can do this and I'm in control of that. I don't have to worry about, you know, working for someone else where that pendulum is always over your head. What's going to happen? You know, at any moment it could be taken away from you. And that's something I want to get across to whoever's listening. Also, there's nothing wrong with a 9-to-5. It's great. But you should always have a backup plan. Because again, that could be taken away from you. It could be health issues, could be family issues, could be a mandate. You know, it could be anything. So that's something I want to stress and get across to people is, you know, you have to take charge of your own life. So again, at first it was scary. I even had analysis paralysis, like you guys like to talk about. There was so much information because that's another thing. I wanted to learn as much as I could, but I got too much information. So I had to step back a little bit. And again, speaking through you, with you, it helped a lot to calm me down and, you know, focus on a couple of things instead of focusing on 10 things. But again, the main point is, of course, for everyone who's got a 9-to-5 and situations like that, have a backup plan because you don't know what could happen.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you pointed out like even health aspect, right? Like we don't know what the future holds, but I would think that most people like listening to our podcast are trying to invest in real estate and do some of the things they're trying to take control of their own financial situation. Over this past 12 months, I've had two friends of mine that have both passed away due to cardiac arrest for both of them. And they're younger guys. I mean, and they had young families. Yeah. Both of them have young children. And it's like, and you don't know. So the things that you think are secure may not be secure, you know, and it's really unfortunate to see. So that's something that was a wake up call to me too, to just be like, man, in one, take a step back and enjoy, you know, I'm working so hard to create like this lifestyle for my family. So enjoy it, but also be in a position where like, you know, I'm in control of financial situations and the outcome of where things are going to be headed. But, yeah, I think I wanted to get deep on that just real quick with you, Bernard, because I think there's a lot of people that are in different situations. It's not always people hate their job or they want to leave their job, or, you know, there's many people that will always work. Where I think all of us with this entrepreneurial mindset, we will always be working, right? Retirement is not sitting on a beach drinking Mai Tais. It's
exactly.
It's being engaged and active in the things that you care about and being a little bit in control of your destiny. So I'm glad that we went into that. Thank you for that.
Yeah, the money, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say the money may be the reward, it may be the goal, but it really isn't. It's the freedom. It's the lifestyle, being able to, like I said, control what happens to you. You know, you may not become a billionaire, but that idea that you can do what you want when you want, and if you wanted to go buy something, yeah, you could buy it. You know, it's nice to have that sense of security and ability to do it on your own.
Yeah, I was going to say, let your real estate buy you that Mai Tai.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk some real estate, Bernard, because you've been just going, man, you've been doing some great things. So the Cape Coral project you're talking about, that's ground up construction. That's kind of a unique one. I believe you got, I'll let you tell me, but that's ground up construction. So you're actually participating in the build, and then you went through a 1031 exchange, which you sold off this building and put into a multiple other construction projects in a few different locations, all new construction, all Florida, that are now completed and leased. So at this point, you've successfully fully completed the 1031. Is that accurate?
Yeah, obviously you got to go through the tax period next year when you file, but as of now, everything's done. I handled it perfectly. I happened to use Dave Foster, who's connected with you guys. So I should say he and his team handled it perfectly. But on my end, I did everything that I needed to do. They were very, very helpful in that. So yeah, so that 1031 situation is taken care of. And now we're just moving forward with other projects, trying to scale as much as we can.
Can you walk us through a little bit of your mindset of like why you, because we work in the Midwest, we have some renovated properties, we have some multifamily, and I know you kind of looked at all this stuff because we talked about it, but for the audience purposes, I mean, what was the mindset or the decision on, hey, you want new construction, and then I want to talk about the 1031 and kind of like the logistical steps of that, but why new construction to begin with?
Well, new construction, going back to the first step, would be turnkey. I wanted to be, you know, again, I had all this knowledge and stuff, but, and I was kept learning, but I wanted to do something there. I could simplify it off the bat, build some confidence, and then eventually start to do things on my own. So turnkey through RTR led to, new construction. So why new construction? You hear all these horror stories of, you know, buying a 10-year-old property, 15, 20-year-old plus, and CapEx, constantly something's breaking. There's always something wrong. So let me eliminate that. Let me do something that's brand new. It's gonna be handled by the builder. You have your warranties, you have all your mechanicals are new. They're gonna last a while. So it took away a lot of worry. And of course should increase cash flow because of the CapEx situation. I just like the whole idea also of being somewhere from the beginning and building ground up, and the builder sends you pictures and you get to see each stage. It's just something really nice about it, besides the financial reward, because you also have equity built in if it's done correctly, because you're getting it at a pretty good price point. And as soon as it's available, you already have equity built in that if you wanted to, you could sell it right away. You have multiple exit strategies if you want, or you can just keep it as a rental and collect your cash flow. So that's the main reason.
Yeah. Go ahead, Adam.
I was going to say I'm with you. All of my purchases now are new construction, just because not only for the reasons you said, but also the quality of tenant you get is, you know, just usually better than what you're getting with the rehabs. I mean, I still love my rehabs. Don't get me wrong. They give me cash flow that my new constructions tend to not. But I'm a big proponent of having those in your portfolio. I 100% agree with you on that.
Each investor is different, you know, and in different financial positions and things like this. And yeah, I think like the if we had to just quickly bullet point the pros and cons of new construction, at least in my mind, is that generally speaking, newer construction properties are more expensive. So it requires more money down to acquire more deals that may not be accessible to everyone. You know, and there's a little bit more variability, especially if you're doing ground up construction. There's a lot that goes into that. That's like in the spec building space, but even just buying an already built new construction versus turnkey, usually more expensive, requires a little bit more capital, usually lower cash flow numbers year one, just because of where the rent to price ratio are. However, long term, less maintenance, certainly, I think better rental increases year after year. So maybe year one is less cash flow, but year two, three, four should be a little bit better. And then also you have better appreciation over time, better tenant quality, things like this. I think long-term new construction and higher price homes will outperform, but it depends on what your holding period is too. So, you know, that we have a lot of people that do well in the Midwest with turnkey properties that hold them for 3 to 5 years and then go through and 1031 exchange those, just as you did at 1031 and trade it up. So to each their own, but I think that's part of the investment journey, is learning what is the right asset class for you based on your goal, resources, your timeline, your purchasing criteria. So it's cool to see you determine what that is and then take action on it, move forward. Let's talk about the 1031 exchange for someone that's never gone through a 1031 exchange. Bernard, let's talk about kind of exactly how it played out for you. Like, what is a 1031 and kind of what are the steps that you needed to follow? You don't have to get super granular, just kind of big picture.
Well, basically, you have a property that you've held for a certain amount of time for investment purposes, can't be your primary. And you want to do what's called a like-kind exchange. You're going to trade basically an investment property for another investment property or multiple investment properties. So you avoid paying the capital gains tax, you defer it, you keep moving it forward. So you could do this multiple times throughout your lifetime. You can continue this, you know, for your children just going forward. So basically, once you sell your original property, you have a 45-day identification period. So you have to identify, you could have multiple properties, but you at least have to identify the property that you want to purchase or properties, and you must be in contract in the 45 days. Then you have, starting at that initial, also when the 45-day clock starts, you have a 180-day clock, and you have until that point to close on all these properties. So 45 days you must identify, and 180 days you must be closed. And then the 1031 is basically complete.
And the whole purpose of doing this is to avoid paying capital gains, right? Like, you buy a property that's worth $200,000 when you buy it, and then, you know, a decade later it's worth $500,000 or whatever the case is. You have $300,000 of equity that, hey, if you would have sold that property, you would have been taxed heavily on that. But instead, and if you've listened to me at all, I will always hit the tax advantages of real estate investing. I mean, really, truly though, this is how people build wealth, right? If you can avoid paying, not only in your active income, but in your investments, if you can avoid the paying taxes, that is a significant amount of money that you can reinvest and now have an income on, and then additional tax benefits. It's this repeated cycle, snowball effect.
It's one of the things a lot of people forget too, is the tax aspect of real estate versus every other investment vehicle that you could do. Like, even I, from the beginning, didn't realize the whole thing. I mean, the 1031 I understood, but every other aspect that you've tried to drill into my brain, Zach, and my wife as well, is all the other tax benefits of real estate. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. And like you said, that's where the wealth comes in.
And I also want to point out to people who are listening to Zach's example and have heard Bernard's story. I mean, I don't know where you're living, but if you're living somewhere with the tenant laws as they sound like they are, I mean, that $300,000 of equity probably would have been taxed in the 40 to 50% range.
Yep.
I mean, it wouldn't be pretty. And I mean, yeah, that's easily
in the Northeast. So nothing is friendly for a landlord.
So, you know, if you look at that in terms of properties, that's easily 2, 3, 4 properties you could add to your portfolio just on the amount that would have been taxed, not even necessarily thinking about the full amount.
Right.
And that's just trading up again and again, right? You 1031. And then as you mentioned, the goal next time is 1031. I mean, and you keep trading up. How you build wealth in real estate is you just reinvest, you know, your equity. Yes, cash flow is important and you can live off of your cash flow. You can reinvest it, but just trading up as you grow equity and taking full advantage of the tax benefits in real estate. That's how people build wealth in like dramatic wealth in real estate. And it's cool to see you doing it like live, Bernard. This is a sole reason talking with you. Like I was excited to have you on. So we appreciate you coming on to be a guest so we can pick your brain and quiz you a little bit. But this is like what's rewarding for me is to see people who take my recommendations and our team's recommendations, investing, you know, along with everything else they're learning, and they actually apply it. And then it's not all easy. Like we're going to talk about the obstacles. It takes work, but I mean, the dividends for the amount of work you're putting in versus the output you get, there's nothing else that compares.
That'll bring me back to the whole turnkey aspect and rent to retirement. To get into this game, I mean, like we all say, it is complicated. There's a lot of roadblocks, but again, I'll repeat, I wanted to start off with the turnkey aspect because it's such a learning experience. Even though it's, you know, turnkey, there's still a lot involved. You have things to do, and as you're doing them, you learn. It's like when I closed on the first property, I was like, oh my God, I gotta pick property management, I gotta get insurance, I gotta do all this. And then after that, like the second, third, the fourth, it's no big deal. Like you build these relationships, it becomes so easy to do, but you just gotta make that initial jump, and then it becomes so much easier. But that's with anything in life, correct? Like you just have to jump.
So not to be too self-serving here, but you know, if you had a few key points where you're like, hey, rent to retirement really helped me do this, or this was essential and that allowed me to be successful and continue my journey. Could you throw out a couple just points for people who are deciding if they want to work with us that we were able to help you on your journey?
Sure. Like, let's say you go on a lot of the forums, like Bigger Pockets or whatever. A lot of the questions is, where should I invest? What should I invest in? People really don't know. They know they want to do something, but they don't know what to do. So it's just like dealing with a stockbroker. Okay, you speak to a broker, he'll help you pick out some stocks. Okay. In this way, rent to retirement is kind of like a broker. You guide us on, okay, these are the hot areas. These are the types of properties you should own. And you break things down, demographics, as you like to say, a path of progress. Where are people moving to? Where are people leaving? So it all comes down to rent to retirement makes all that research easier and it guides you to where you should be. But if you're doing all that research on your own anyway, and if you find out these things ahead of time, you guys just reinforce it. Oh, I was right. I know that area of Florida is good and they're building there. They know something. It just gives you a nice, even smooth flow of what you should be doing and where you should be doing it.
Awesome. We certainly like to think so. And then if you hit a point where you're maybe second guessing anything, we can be there in your corner to help give you that confidence and motivation to keep on.
I know I drove you crazy a bunch of times. I know I did, but you were always patient with me. And I can't stress that enough. There was never any pressure about it. That's the part that I felt a good connection with you and the company. There's no hard sell. It's like, this is what we think, but you decide. And that's the part that I always liked the most about it. I don't like to be sold hard on anything. You know, like I'm smart enough to make my own decisions. And the fact that you were able to guide guide us in that direction is much appreciated.
Excellent.
And let's be honest, it's when you hit the speed bumps, everybody's going to hit them. So it's 100% on that. So, yeah. So what, you know, I know you've bought a lot in Florida. Have you thought about your next steps?
I'm always thinking. I think too much. I'm always thinking what's next, what to do, how to do it. I told Zach, I'm hungry. I want it, you know. I wish, what's the old line? I wish I would have started sooner. I wish I didn't wait till the mandate happened. I should have been doing this for years, but it's water under the bridge. It's never too late. So what I want to do next, I just want to keep scaling. Obviously, Florida is where we are and we like to be, but there's other places in the Southeast. I've visited Alabama. It's a beautiful state. There's a lot of parts of Alabama that are just gorgeous. It's very landlord friendly. The people are nice. A lot of people are moving there. So that's a place that I'd like to get to at some point with some investments. I just want to grow. So right now we have six doors. Two are yet to be finished. I'd like to get to 10 next year. I think that's a reasonable goal. And then after that, the sky's the limit. I just want to keep growing and growing. And the only way to get there is to act. You just can't sit on your hands.
Yeah, you got the bug, Bernard, is quite clear, which is exciting to see. We're clearly passionate about real estate. And as I mentioned, like, you know, these type of scenarios and conversations are what we thrive on. And it's reinforcing and positive reinforcement for us. But I real estate's a lifelong journey. You know, I probably said that in every single podcast, but right. It's like it doesn't stop. Right. And that's the cool thing. Like, you can create a lifestyle where you're financially independent, but you can still also like be hyped up and excited and like continue to grow at the same time. Like, those worlds coexist. Unless, if you don't mind, I would love, because I know when I'm listening to people's experiences and things like that, like, I want to know about the numbers. And then I also want to touch on maybe some obstacles that you hit and how you ever overcame those, throughout the process. But let's, if you don't mind, with the extent that you feel comfortable sharing, do you mind talking about like just numbers of properties, cash flow? I would love to hear kind of like what your kind of approximate cash flow is on a monthly basis right now and things like that. I think the audience would love to hear that too.
Well, yeah, that's something I don't want to get too deep into. I'll put it like this. I'm comfortable right now where I've replaced income from my old work.
And you've been able to do that with just a few properties.
Correct. The 1031 helped that. Definitely. It hasn't replaced my overtime. Overtime used to really bring in some good numbers, but I have been able to comfortably replace my income from my old job. And that, for me to do that within, you know, a year and a half, I'm happy. I'm very happy.
So let me just make sure the audience heard that, though, without giving away specific the detail. Like, you were able to, within less than 2 years of dedicated investing, and yes, this took work, and you went through a 1031 exchange, and you did, like, you're making moves, but within less than 2 years of investing, you were essentially able to replace your active income, and you're still on the path of like growing. That's not the end, right? Like, you're still growing your portfolio.
I'm not comfortable enough where I can just lay back and say, you know, that's it. I don't have to do anything else. Absolutely not. Like I said, I replaced my income, but I didn't replace my overtime. So the next goal is, let's replace the overtime and let's just keep going. Because at some point, I do want to look back, take a break and say, wow, you know, look what we've accomplished. But like you said earlier, that's not the end. That's just a step to a new beginning, and just to keep growing and scaling. Because again, the numbers are numbers, but it's just that feeling of being comfortable, not having to worry about, you know, what's gonna happen next, what's the next shoe that's gonna drop, you know, like just having that ability to, you're always gonna have worries, but to lessen that fear of the what if is priceless to me.
So there you have it, people. It is possible. I know sometimes it seems far-fetched in the beginning. I mean, there's no overnight success, but it also doesn't take a lifetime to create financial independence. And everyone's in a different situation, but with a few years of dedicated investing, you can make big moves happen. And it's really about your education and your motivation, just as Bernard mentioned, to go on and do the next thing and scale. And like, you know, you reach one goal and then you're on to the next, right? And sometimes you can't see, like your mind won't let you see past that first goal because it maybe it seems unattainable, or, you know, it's just hard to really, it's not intangible, but trust me, once you reach that first goal, it's the next goal and the next goal. I'm still going through it myself, you know, and it's a cool journey. So let's talk about obstacles, Bernard. Is there anything that comes to mind as far as like challenges that you experienced just in with whatever? It could be mentally, emotionally, it could be financially, it could be logistically with going through the property closings. And how did you overcome those?
Well, I guess originally it was, like I said, that analysis paralysis, too much information from every angle, websites, forums. It's just a lot of stuff to process. So that would be a major obstacle, and because that holds you back from actually doing something. I mean, you could keep looking at things for months and months and you haven't done anything. What's the point? You got to start quick. So I would say focus on one or two things, whether it's, you know, you like short-term rentals, long-term rentals, you're good at construction, you can work with your hands, you want to do flipping, pick something and do it. So that would be an obstacle in my mind is that, what do I do? You know, how do I do it and what do I do? So that's one thing. The other thing is, it's always going to be money. At some point you run out of funds. So you have to get creative. Like we've talked about many times, Zach, how to get creative with lenders and different aspects. And we're going to be doing that going forward, hopefully, to try to scale, because again, you don't have infinite amounts of capital to utilize. Because, you know, we've spoken about also before, you know, I'm like, Zach, how do these people have 100 doors, 200 doors? And it's very simple. Like you said, well, they have partners. You know, like you said, you need to network, you meet people, you partner up, you build relationships. And eventually, yeah, you can start building these multiple doors, because it all comes down to capital, correct?
It's most limiting factor. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, all the people who own 100 doors don't really own 100 doors most of the time. They right. share it. They share 100 doors.
I'm sure there's okay. plenty that do, but for the yeah. most part, you're right. Yeah, they have to. There's other ways of doing it, and they've discovered how to do that with help with other people.
And I'll say this also, like, you don't need to own 100 doors, right? Like right. sometimes that's not the answer. Yeah. So
what you need is enough, right?
You just need
with what we have now. I mean, comfortably. You know, like I said, I'm comfortable. My mom is comfortable. My wife still works. She has a very good career, but eventually she'd like to do her own thing too. So that could be a goal for us as well, as we scale, is try to see if we can get her off of her W-2 and have her working for herself as well, whether it be real estate or something else that's related to it. But again, once you get to a certain level, yeah, you get comfortable, but now reevaluate where you want to be next and try to get to that next step and just keep going up, up and up.
I want to definitely touch on advice that you have for someone that was in your shoes a couple of years ago, Bernard, or someone that's looking to get started. But before we do that, and you don't have to go into this at all, but I think if you're comfortable to some degree, it would be worth sharing. Like, and I know this in my conversations with you, but a lot of like your why is not as motivated to take care of your family. You know, your mother, your wife, it's not about, you know, just, hey, let me just earn money and, you know, live a good life. And I think many people can relate to that. It's like, let me take care of people I love. Do you care to touch on kind of the why at all with some of the things you're doing with your family? Or?
Well, yeah, I mean, without getting emotional, because I love my family very much. I want to be there for them. You know, where I used to work, I was on call constantly. I always had to be around. I had to be available for work, holidays, Sundays, whatever the case is. So now I'm more available for family. I don't have to worry about, oh, I got to work. So that's one thing. There's another part I should have said earlier about freedom. Well, this is part of it. which is the ability to just be with your family, not miss out on things, you know, be there for them if they gotta take them somewhere, or even just the family event, whatever the case is. So there's that. But yeah, like my father passed away, it's gotta be 14 years ago now. So I know we all took it really hard, but my mom took it especially hard because he handled everything for her. So it's nice now that I've shown her, and I've been doing this throughout this time, but now not only am I there all the time for her if she needs me, it's also the aspect of I've handled, you know, the family building that we had. You know, like I said, it was being let go. It wasn't run properly. So finally, we turned that around and turned it into something really special by 1031 into properties, brand new properties in Florida. So it's like we took something old that was part of the family that's been there for a while. We turned it into something new. And now this is part of the family, too. And it's like it's revived her as well, because she was part of the reason we also didn't want to get rid of the property was she felt a very big emotional attachment to it. You know, it's been there forever. You know, daddy got it so many years back. You know, she felt weird about it. But once we finally had the talk and we ended up doing it, and I'm showing her the pictures and I'm showing her what we did, it's such a happiness to see her like that. Her face lights up. She doesn't have to worry about this old building anymore. We have these new properties. She was very worried when the situation happened to me with the mandate, and I told her not to, and she believed in me. And sure enough, that's another aspect of it. She gets to see, wow, you know, he stood by his principles and he was able to turn it into something. And now look, he's going. Same thing with my wife. She supported me from the very beginning of this. And she told me, I believe in you and you'll get it done. And sure enough, like I said, things are happening. I'm not where I want to be, and I'm not going to pat myself on the back for it. But I think I've done pretty damn well for the amount of time that this journey has began. But this, again, I keep repeating, this is not the end. It's just the beginning. I want to keep going. It's very addicting when you have a little bit of success like that and you're able to do it on your own, that you just want more of it. There's nothing better than that. And having your family appreciate you, you know, what can I say?
Well, you may not be patting yourself on the back, but if I were there, I'd give you a little pat on the back.
I mean, I'd give you a hug, Adam. You're very huggable, Adam. I gotta say,
I have a huggable face. It's better than having a punchable face, like some people tell me I have.
You should see the Lego version of Adam. Do you have that there? There's a.
I do. Yes. This is how my family views me. If anybody wants to see. It's on YouTube.
If that's not huggable, I don't know what is.
Oh,
right?
Boy. Oh, my God.
Right, he sits on my desk.
I got to get one of those.
Let's thank you for that, Bernard, because, man, I think it's just important to take a step back sometimes and, like, you know, the why is a motivation, right? And each of us has it. Again, we're not – real estate is – it takes work. It takes time. Sometimes it's not pretty. You know, and it's like it adds stress. Like, don't get me wrong, it's not all sunshine and rainbows, but right. the benefits are there. And I think, you know, we have to stay focused on that and the long-term play to really be successful. But the outcome that we can accomplish is so powerful for ourselves, for our lives, for our family, for future generations. All right. And it's just like, you got to stay nose to the grindstone and just do it. You got to take action initially. And I love hearing stories like this from a personal level. So thank you for being open enough to share some of that. And I think a lot of people will relate to that.
I hope so.
I know they will. 100%. I know I did.
Because again, I mean, you know, maybe I sugarcoated. It wasn't easy at first. I mean, like I said, I don't want to get emotional. Because it was a rough time in the beginning, but just fortunate enough to have a piece of property in the family to able to do something with, and then on top of that have a supportive wife who also sees your vision and says, you know what, okay, let's fine, and we'll do the 1031, but there's other things we can do. There's more. We can expand on that by doing some more things. And just having that support system is absolutely priceless. But it was very rough. And you know, my situation, I could have easily just, you know, did what they told me to do and I would have kept my job, no problem. So I'm no hero, I'm nobody special. There's people with a lot worse situations than me, like we talked about, with health issues and family issues, God forbid, accidents, things like that. So I'm nobody special. There's people with a lot worse situations, but I have a feeling that when it all comes down to is what you have inside. And if you believe in yourself, you can do anything, you can move mountains. So I really want to get that across to people that doesn't matter what your situation is, it can be done.
Thank you for that. That's very powerful. I want to ask you about vetting teams coming into this, and this could, like, Rent Retirement would be included in this, property managers would be included in this, lenders. You know, you have a lot of choices, and it's too much noise when you first, like, where do you start? Who do you work with? This guy's telling me to do this. This guy's telling me to do this. And, you know, my friends tell me to do this. And it's just crazy. But, like, how did you narrow in and focus on your decision that you made? But more importantly, how did you vet and decide on working with the people that you did?
Okay. Well, initially on the first closing, when we got close to it, I think one of your guys reached out. I forget who it was. But also talking to you that it was time to interview some PMs and insurance agents. So I know you guys gave me your list. So I figured, you know, let me stick with people that they know, they're comfortable with, good results with. So I interviewed a couple property managers. And I would say one was more expensive than the other. But when you interview them and you speak to them on the phone, you want to know, are they investors in that area? Do they own property in that area? What are their marketing levels at? You know, there's a lot of questions to ask. So when it comes to choosing one, I found it easier just to choose by how I felt speaking to them relationship-wise, if they were going to look out for me rather than just price. Because honestly, the person with the lower price, I felt like it was very robotic, you know, and I didn't like that. I mean, I guess you can gather, Zach, you know me for a while now. You know, I'm very much a relationship type person. I like to know the person. I like to, you know, share a laugh, things like that, and get a good feel. So that was my main decision and for them. And they're very good in that area. And they were able to rent within, I think it took a little bit more than 30 days. That was the property in Ocala, but it's rented, it's done, and that's taken care of. The other properties in Northport, the builder happens to be the property manager. So during the process of the build, we would be in touch, he and I, and again, you start building a relationship with the person. So I didn't have to choose him for the property manager. I could have chose anyone. But it turned out that the guy was a great guy and they run their business the right way. So that was an easy decision. And the same thing with the insurance agent. Interviewed a couple different ones, but it turned out again, the girl was really nice, knew the area, knew what I wanted to do, wanted to save me money, just, you know, wasn't offering me the world as far as insurance, just what you need. And if there's anything else above that, you know, if you want to do an umbrella, whatever the case is, so that's up to you. But I felt comfortable doing that. And then the only way you do that is talking to people. You have to interview them.
So you took our recommendations because we do. I mean, this is part of like our process that we have all this network. You don't have to use all these people, right? But we have built this network of people that we vetted and that we feel offers the best opportunities and rates for insurance and things like this. And then, but you took that and personally vetted them. You spent time on the phone with them, made sure that they're who you want to work with because you're the owner. Right. You're going to have to work with them directly. Right. And then made your decision from there, right?
Yeah, that's one of the things that I liked about it. It wasn't just, you know, you guys pick who I'm going to work with. I get to decide that. And that's very important because, you know, when things happen, you're not going to be calling them. I have to call them. You know, they're going to call me. They're not going to call you. So I have to deal directly with them. So that was important to me. And I did like that. part of it.
So you mentioned that you had analysis paralysis. A lot of new investors have analysis paralysis. So if you were giving, you know, one to two pieces of advice to someone who is sitting around, or maybe they're under contract and about to close, what's, you know, one or two pieces of advice you would give to a new investor?
Find something that you really like. Find something that you think you can be good at. Again, on a flipping side, if someone's into flipping, I mean, if they're good with their hands and they're going to work in their local area, then that's something I highly recommend. If that's what they want to do, they need to jump into that, because that's probably something they're going to be good at. But if you're looking to do stuff out of state, your local area, like mine, was not landlord friendly, but you know that the path to wealth is real estate, you want to own some long-term rentals, then focus on an area where you think you want to be. So do your own research, find those areas, and try to see who's out there. You could reach out to real estate agents, or you could reach out to a company like yours. And there's plenty of turnkey companies. I've seen a lot of them. They're all over the place. They're on BiggerPockets, but you guys stood out to me, especially from the initial phone calls. So that's what I would recommend. I would recommend just to focus on one or two things that you really think you can be good at, that you really like. Like for me, it was out of state, new construction, and just to be a turnkey model where, okay, yeah, I'm going to be involved, but a lot of the process is very streamlined and smooth. So initially, when you want to get into something like that, you don't have 1,000 things coming at you. You know, there's going to be enough coming at you as is. So why not just, you know, take a step back and have some professionals who've done this 1,000 times guide you. And again, like I said earlier, if once you do that and you get comfortable, sure, jump out on your own. You could do, there's 1,000 things you can do, but initially the analysis paralysis, you got to get that out of the way, and you got to go for it. You just got to roll the dice and go for it.
All right. Well, Bernard, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your trust that you've put in us. If you want to schedule a call with us, head on over to renttoretirement.com. You can, you know, just find a time to talk with us. We'll walk you through what we do and see how we can best help you. That's at renttoretirement.com. And of course, if you're listening to this and it's still 2023, you can get a copy of Zach's Top 20 Markets to Invest in 2023 by emailing podcasts@renttoretirement.com. That's podcasts@renttoretirement.com. Really appreciate the time you spent educating yourself today, and we'll talk to you on the next episode.